This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Welcome, everybody, to We Say Things, episode 79, sponsored by absolutely nobody. Suns fan here with Sindarin. Greetings, salutations, young man.
Hello.
You look great with your green screen.
Thank you. Finally, you stop trolling me with the background and you just let it be what it wants to be. Every week I've been like, Shannon, please don't put something in the background. It's a waste of time. It's really taking a long time to set up for every time we record. And this time you were like, okay, we'll do it.
Yeah.
So that's great. Nice.
Now, if you believe what Sindarin is saying, make sure you type Sindarin is an idiot in the YouTube comments. And if you don't believe him, type the same thing. Doesn't matter. Okay. So.
Yeah, we love those really good interactions.
Yes, it's great.
It's good for the algorithm. A lot of people search for Sindarin is an idiot on YouTube. So if you guys post that in there, they will get this episode.
Of course. This is very, very true. Okay, so first things first, of course, we're going to thank our InBruges tier for all the beautiful patrons out there that have subscribed to, is it a subscription? I guess it is, a monthly thing to help us out. I will start it off, Sindarin.
Go ahead.
Thank you to Chakar, Boyko, Ustavka Mutro, Fab Daddy, The Mega Pope, Cradle Was Good, What's Next, Tins, or
TI in New Zealand, yes.
TI in, oh my God, okay, my eyes.
Tins.
I don't have anything next, man. Cradle, I love Cradle. Zan Xavier, Suns Fan Pudge, Omega Lol, Nate Thicko, 01 Hamscroats, Brother to the Great OG, Jesticles Hamscroats. Bacon, no, not that bacon, the other bacon, pretending to be homeless so that I could sneakily and strategically whip out my testicles in the middle of the road. Whoever this is, you have the best names, man. You're really knocking them out of the park. Lick, Shark TM, Freshly Seasoned Goat Balls, and Change Will Happen.
And then we also have Comrade Dimitri Valdisov, The Ben Jackson and Ben Broomhead Alliance, Novi Panda, Dop, Marek Zagarek, I guess, Fane, underscore man. We give permission for the Ben Alliance to raise podcast awareness by invading and occupying neighboring nations and villages. Pitch Black, Wooden Aftertaste, Done Talk, Dyslexic Lawyer, Anonymous, and guess who? It's Ronnie Keel.
Congratulations, Ronnie Keel, again last, but not least in our hearts. I'm really sad to say this. I don't really have much to talk about for the NBA. Free agency has started. The draft occurred. Nothing crazy, like super crazy, has really happened. The Suns
drafted. Did you get what you wanted?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. The Suns.
You wanted that guy we talked about last week, right? And then apart from that, did you change any players?
Well, I think last week I talked about how they already happened, right? They traded for Chris Paul. I think that already
happened. That's what I mean. That was last week we talked about it, right? I don't know exactly when it happened, but yeah, was that last episode? Was that two episodes ago?
I don't even know. But anyway, the Suns, they drafted. This is the second year in a row that they drafted somebody that nobody thought they should be drafting that high. But last year it worked out really well, so we'll see if it works out again. We got a really good signing named Jay Crowder that's going to be a great defender for us. Our lineup looks really fucking good to the point where if we hit our peak, absolute peak, we could be like third best team in the West, maybe. But safer bets are like fifth. Maybe second round of the playoffs, maybe not. But either way, it's been a long time since the Suns even made the playoffs. So I guess the other thing we can briefly go over, Sindarin, is the Lakers obviously won the championship. Makes me very sad. And they somehow signed all the best players again. So they traded for, like, I don't understand how they upgraded their roster, but they fucking did it. And it makes me sick to my stomach. So another year, Lakers are going to win, I guess. And Not much drama, right?
Oh, well.
Yep. So, Sindarin, you have a story. Talk to me about what the F happened to you.
Yeah. So, basically, in the outline, it says Sindarin hacked, which sounds maybe a little more dramatic than what it was. But basically, there was something going around among... I don't know if it was among the pro scene or if it was just a lot of accounts in general. But basically, I'm streaming and I get a PM on Steam from Weppus, who is asking me to go and vote for his team for an amateur CSGO league on ESL. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. And it sounded really believable because I know Weppus plays like CS. I was like, yeah, he might play amateur level. You know, he's Swedish. It really just fit. And I was streaming at the same time. So I was just like, all right, I'll just do it immediately when my game ends or when I died or whatever. Just get it done. So I didn't really stop to think twice about whether there was legit or not or double check the link. So basically what happened was the page was fake, obviously, as it occurs. And the guy got access to my Steam. So we were logged in simultaneously and he started messaging other people to go and vote on that page. And then I got a Twitter DM from 1437 who was like, Sinarin, what's going on? Like, you just wrote this shit to me. I was like, what the fuck? So then I immediately flushed my Steam, got him out of the account, changed my password, etc. And nothing bad happened on my account. I didn't
That's
lose any
not
inventory.
True. That huh? Something bad happened to your account.
What happened?
Apparently that guy deleted me off your friends list. And
true. So not only did he hack, he also had the courtesy to improve my friend list. Like, how often can you say that somebody gets access to your account and makes good decisions for you?
Am I the only one?
Stuff. He didn't sell anything. He kept my inventory. He literally just wrote to people to go follow this link. And then he deleted Shannon off my friends list. Like, wonderful. I wonder who else he deleted. I might actually have lost other friends that I just didn't notice, right? Like, I don't know. I think I lost CCNC, Yeah, and then I went to my block list. So apparently what that person did was he wrote messages to people, and then after he wrote to them, he would block them. So I could go to my blocked users and find out everybody who had been messaged and then tell them that it was fake and then unblock them again.
Wait, you can block people on Steam?
Yeah, you can block all communication from people.
Even on your friends list?
Yeah, I'll do that with you.
That's
after
really
this.
Handy. Yeah, I was going to say, that's really, really handy.
So yeah, supposedly, I think what the person was out for, I was like, what's he doing? So I asked Cyborg Matt about it, and he said that what this guy might be doing and why he didn't do anything with my account is they might be like phishing for accounts that don't have two-factor authentication and Steam Guard, because then they have way more freedom to do shit with the marketplace or with getting stuff off the account. So it was scary. It's not a pleasant experience having someone logged into your credentials and stuff, but two-factor auth and Steam Guard was super helpful this time in just protecting me, basically. So I can't stress enough how good 2FA is, and you should have it in case you get caught by something like that.
So even with two-factor, he was able to log in, technically.
Yes. So what happened was the thing that I got, the link that I got, was to that vote, and it was... using the Steam API, it was like authorized with Steam API. And I once again, I didn't think twice because it seemed legit to me that if you did a vote on ESL, they would want you to Steam auth so that people didn't abuse the system or something, so that every Steam account got to vote once. I was like, once again, that didn't really make me think twice. Now I'm thinking back, kind of stupid, but you know. So yeah, in that window, you obviously have your password that is always the same. And then you have the Steam Guard thing that changes every, I don't know how often it updates, if it's like 20 seconds or something. So if they instantly log that and instantly log in, the Steam Guard hasn't changed yet. So they get this small window to get in. But as soon as you get them flushed out, they obviously can't get in again because the Steam Guard is new and you're not giving them the new information. So it's like this one moment of opportunity that they have to get in. So yeah, even two-factor auth isn't like 100% safe if you literally give them your code, right? If they are very, very quick to log in, there is a window. But then once again, if you have Steam Guard and other protections on, it's very easy to get people out of your account because you literally just go to your account and you say, log out all other devices that are connected, and then they immediately get flushed from your from your account where you are. So
okay. So I actually got a message.
And I think they can't change the password. So this is what hackers will usually do when they get access to your account, right? They will change the password so you can't get in and stop them. But on Steam, I think in order to change your password, you need to... It first of all takes a little bit of time. Then I believe it takes two-factor auth again and email confirmation. I'm pretty sure. So like So they can't like lock you out in the same way if you have all the protections set up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
That's what happened. Before all this became public knowledge from Danny Dem, who is a famous workshop artist, basically saying the exact same thing that you like without a link though. And I responded right. with, okay, what do you need exactly? And they just never responded because it seemed fishy, but he never gave a link outright. Right. And they just never responded after that. So yeah, scary stuff. So be careful out there, friends. Let this be a PSA for all.
Good. Sometimes it's good to get a little kick in the nuts to, you know, wake up a little bit, pay more attention.
So a wake-up call for you is a kick in the nuts. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Seems a little harsh.
This wasn't really a wake-up call, was it? It was a little worse than that.
Yeah, scary situation for sure. But luckily it didn't turn out to be anything
all good.
Super bad in the end. Okay, so first topic of the week, Team Secret for the Esports Awards that I did not watch at all.
Same.
They won Team of the Year. They won Player of the Year, which was Nisha, and Coach of the Year, which is Heen. Is that all correct, Sindarin?
Correct.
What do you think of that? So, teams, I mean, again, no TI this year, and other games have had kind of their big tournaments, some of them at least, like League, for example. But Secret essentially winning for the last, if you want to take out the last few weeks, has it been 7+ months,
eight,
I want to say?
8 events in a row. Yeah, 7 months, they won everything.
So just winning literally everything. Would you, I mean, obviously we're in a Dota bubble, so we're going to agree, right? But do you think there's any argument?
I mean, if this was the Dota Awards, everything I would agree with. I don't know if I would put Nisha as Player of the Year. I think it's hard to pick one.
Yeah.
But he would definitely be one of the candidates, right? So, yeah, I mean, as it always is with these multi-game award shows, right? It's easy for us to say that these are great choices because we don't follow the other games that are part of it nearly as much. To be honest with you, I don't even know which games are eligible to win in the esports category. If it's Dota, League, CSGO, Rainbow Six, Call of Duty, like, I don't know what games are included in this.
Is Minecraft in there?
It's hard to imagine another team in any game being as dominant as Secret were this year. I think that's fair to say. Like, you need to basically win everything, right? And not only that, but the competition needs to be tougher, which is unlikely, once again, because of Corona, because, you know, arguably Secret even had a really tough region to play in while this was happening. It wasn't like it was just free, easy wins because the region was weak or something. There's still tons of good teams. So it's super impressive. I'm happy coaches get a bit more recognition, so grats to Heen as well. I think he's really elevated this team to the next level. They just started owning after he joined. I feel like it made a pretty big difference, at least down the stretch. So yeah, good stuff. The thing about these award shows, though, is like I don't know how much stock to put in them in general. It's always cool for the teams to get recognition like this, but I wish maybe it was a little bit more transparent and a little more... defined.
Okay. Well, I was going to segue into this next kind of mini topic of what do you think of award shows for esports in general? Because from my perspective, I'm used to watching the Oscars. I don't really watch a lot of other award shows at all, but the Oscars I watch every single year. It's an event, you know, it's fun to watch. Even if I hate all of the movies, which is sometimes the case that they just pick, like the criteria just doesn't make sense to me sometimes. Like these artsy fartsy, movies will sometimes win for no reason, according to me. But again, like, what criteria are they using? I don't know.
Maybe you just don't have any taste.
No, that's definitely... I love In Bruges. It's a great movie. Don't try to get out of that obligation. But what do you think from esports perspective? Because when you look at the movies, just as, you know, let's just do a one-to-one here. It's pretty clear, even without knowing the exact criteria, it's movies of this category. But for esports, there's just... It feels like it's not as black and white. There's just so many different games. What is even considered an esport, technically speaking?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't even know the answer to that question.
That's the thing. I mean, I guess the analogy or the comparison is really good, though, because in movies, it's also like it's super subjective, right? Like, what do you consider a good movie is very different from one person to the next.
But
it's
you know what would be considered.
That's true. I suppose what it's defined as an esport is a game that, how big of a following does it need to have? How significant do the prize pools need to be? If I host a tournament in POG for $100, is it an esport? Or...
Yes, best esport.
Because then a lot of things could have won. But
no, I agree.
Have been secret,
like,
but...
I, I don't know what the criteria is, and I think that's what we're probably agreeing on right now, is that
maybe
they are transparent about it. I just haven't seen it. I'm not saying that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't even know what an esport is, because like you said, if it's just money, then sure, that's anything could be an esport. If it needs to be X amount of player base and have tournaments consistently running, like whatever the case may be. But either way, I like the idea of it. And the fact that this is, I believe, the fifth year in a row that they're continuing to do it is cool. People show up to the event. They're wearing tuxes. They're trying to make it. That's where I don't like it, actually. They're trying to make it too, I don't know if mainstream is the right word, but they're just trying too hard to copy everybody else. Like, just let people show up in fucking sweatpants. Like, we're gamers, man. Nobody wants to wear a goddamn suit unless you're a fucking psychopath. Like,
I mean,
let's be real, Sindarin.
Okay, being honest, though, a lot of people do like dressing up on occasion. I think they don't like having to wear uniforms like that all the time. But for,
impossible,
like, special occasions, I think people like to do something extra. Like, but honestly, now that you say it, I think it would be super cool if our award shows had people show up in team jerseys of their favorite team instead of in tuxes, right? I think that would be cool. This is, like, more, how to say, it depends on what you think the genre is. Is the genre that it's an award show, or is the genre that it's esports, right? Because you can't, how about we mix it? You do a tux over your favorite gaming team's jersey. How about that?
Wow. Terrible idea. Thank you so much for that.
That is fucking really great. Yes.
Okay. Well, looking forward to more of those to come in the years that, I mean, I didn't know what was even happening until it happened, and I didn't even have time to watch it live. So,
Yeah.
Anywho, next thing on the list, Cinderman. So this was an interesting story. This happened 4 days ago. There was a Reddit thread about, it doesn't even matter what it was about, it was concerning some Steam-related thing where somebody was talking to a Valve employee via, the messaging system that they have. And typically, the Valve employee's name will be a Dota hero. This Valve employee's name was Freya, which we've talked about in the past as being a potential hero coming. They had a bunch of ability, like, we never know what exactly, but the idea of Freya, of course, is the god, I don't even know, it's a Viking or Norse, something Norse related, god related, I can't remember. It's a woman.
Valkyrie.
It's a Valkyrie. Oh, that's true, yeah. Valkyrie was the name as well. So, is this confirmation to you that this is 100% going to be, if not this next hero, one of the next two?
I mean, if anything, it feels like a plant from Valve. Like, maybe nobody got their Arcana destroyed.
True.
But it literally just made a post so that they could tease the hero. I think it's likely. I honestly haven't been paying that much attention to these ticket posts, if they're all Dota hero names, because, you know, Freya is also a name in real life. You can have that name.
It's true.
If it's somebody working for Steam support who especially, like, either has a background in Scandinavia, especially I think Sweden and Norway probably has this name more than Denmark does, then maybe. But, you know, like, it's probably fair to say that it's at the very least a major hint. And that would be cool, right? If Freya is the next hero. Does that fit? So the only other, like, teasers we've seen was on the trailer for what's it called?
Dire Tide.
Where we have this shadowy figure on the background of the news or the back of the newspaper with a crossbow. Does that fit? Would that be Freya? Do you think that is the same hero, or do you think that's another hero?
I'd have to look at it again. A crossbow does not
Wasn't it a female figure with a crossbow? I want to say, or an arbalest or something.
I couldn't tell you, but I'm expecting the next hero to be Valkyrie. If it was Valkyrie, it would be literally Mirana. That's a Han hero named Valkyrie. But yeah, I think this is definitely going to be the next hero. Now, the question is, I actually think the hero is going to come out today for some reason, because every time we do a podcast, a big update comes out after the podcast. So it would actually be perfect in a lot of ways.
What if we just moved our podcast day to Wednesday so we could get all the good news?
Valve does this on purpose. They try to fuck us at every turn. So
right,
if we did that, then they would come out with it during the day after that even. If we did it on the weekend, then we know that would never happen because they don't show up to the office on the weekend. You know, that's the real
But then I have to get up early on the weekend, and we both know that's not happening.
Yeah, very true. Very true. When do you actually expect this patch slash new? I think it's all in one. Would you agree with that? It has to.
Yeah, probably
the
a
patch
big
has
dump
to be coming out with this the week. Hero. Yeah, and I think it's this week.
Yeah.
This is now. Keep in mind, Thursday is Thanksgiving. Does that change anything? Is it more likely it comes out before, or is it more likely that they're just going to wait till next week because of Thanksgiving?
Well, if the patch is good, they might release it before so we can thank for it. But if they think the patch is bad, they might release it on Friday just to be safe.
Black Friday?
No, just on Friday in general. Just after Thanksgiving, like whatever. So
that's
that...
Black Friday.
Oh, yeah. Well, then.
Do you guys not have Black Friday in Denmark?
We do. We do.
So why did you pretend not to understand what I was talking about, Sindarin?
Huh.
Do you buy anything on Black Friday?
It's not as big here. In the U.S., it's fucking enormous.
It's sad how enormous it is, yeah.
Yeah. It's becoming bigger here, for sure. But it's not, like, at the same level at all. I don't remember personally getting anything for Black Friday. Maybe once? Don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, it's definitely a thing. I think for us, it generally starts the following week and the Friday. So it's not mm-hmm. just the one day. I don't know what it is for you guys. If it's just one day, literally, or...
They pretend
or if the sale
one day,
like carries over.
But yeah. A lot of times it carries over. Yeah.
Right.
This is where Corona will spread even more in America. Mm, if
wonderful.
Outside. Yeah. Can't wait. Anyway.
See, this is where, gotta say that. This is where I love what PlayStation 5 did. I don't know if they did that in the States, but the PlayStation 5 release in Denmark, we called the store, one of the biggest chain, if not the biggest chain for electronics in Denmark, and asked if there's any chance we can get our hands on a PlayStation 5. And they said, you can only pre-order. They will not have them in the store ever, ever is a big word, but they will not have them in the store at Sony's request because they don't want to contribute to spreading the coronavirus.
Oh.
And if you put that in stores, people will swarm there to get their copy. Right. So basically, if you want a PS5 in Denmark, you have to pre-order it online. You have to pick it up. It will not be in stores at all. I don't know if that's the case in the US, but I think that's a really cool move.
I haven't heard one way or the other, but I would expect it to be the same because I have literally not seen one picture of anybody waiting outside for a PlayStation or Xbox for that matter. I haven't seen anything relating to that. So, yeah,
maybe Xbox are doing the same. I don't know. We didn't ask about that because we wanted, the good one.
I mean, typically there's tons of pictures coming out during that time, right? But yeah. Who gives a shit?
Yeah,
I mean, Microsoft's letting you play everything on PC, so who wants to actually buy an Xbox? Okay, so yeah, I'm expecting the new hero and patch this week before Thanksgiving. I'm expecting it today. So if my prediction is correct, thank you, Valve, for fucking this podcast again. Speaking again. Of Valve, this is a very, very interesting story. So there's a Reddit thread made by somebody that says, got sent to low priority by Steam employee in Dota 2 in-game. And then Valve, somebody from Valve named Svanaman, posted this, and I'll just read it out. The team looked into this case and concluded the user clearly did not deserve the ban. Even if the user did deserve a ban, however, we all think it's clear that manually banning users is not a good idea because of how hard it is to be objective in Dota games that you're in. My mistake in this case being a sterling example. As employees, we should have no special privilege when playing Dota. That has been the team's informal policy in the past, but has clearly failed in this case. It won't remain informal going forward. Manual bans like this won't be allowed anymore altogether. And sincere apologies to that user. Thoughts before I go.
Okay, so first of all, this is what this post is getting a lot of criticism about in the comments. Mm-hmm. It's like, based on the wording, the person who writes it is the one who did the ban, right? The person's apologizing, saying my mistake being a sterling example. But at the same time, it sounds like it's kind of half owning up to it. I'm not sure that's their intention. Like, maybe they genuinely are sorry that they did this and feel bad about it. But the wording is like this weird mix of half professional distancing and mm-hmm. very little personal when it's clearly a personal thing, right? So, like,
it's
I don't know
PR,
if
PR is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't know if that's something that was requested by Valve, that's how they should respond to it. They've got advice for it, or this is how they generally feel about it, or whatever. You can read a lot between the lines, and it's all just speculation anyway. But that's the primary criticism this is getting, is that, the person doesn't really sound very apologetic. But words can be tough sometimes. So, I don't know. Not going to put words in their mouth that aren't there. But I can definitely see why people think that way. As for the topic itself, I don't know if that's the policy, to be honest. I don't know if this is going to be an unpopular take, but I personally don't have a problem with Valve having the power to ban. I do think if an employee is in a game and they have an experience with someone and they think it's ban-worthy, they should get it peer-reviewed. But I don't necessarily see a problem. Like, let's say you're playing a game and someone is blatantly just cheating and you're a Valve employee and you're so certain they're cheating, and then you ask somebody else or a couple of other people at the company to please double check before you do something, and they all give the thumbs up. Isn't that fine?
So,
like, then you basically did like a counsel that confirmed that this person is cheating. Right. When it comes to foul language and stuff, it's way more tricky, because if you're the one on the receiving end, you'll always think it's more severe than it is to other people that are just watching it. So then those ones are way tougher. Supposedly this ban was for someone, I'm assuming, like complaining or being negative, or maybe it wasn't even that bad. Like, maybe it was something simple, in which case it's just abuse of power, right? So the balance is kind of tough to strike. But like, why not, right? If you are in that game, you work for the company, people can check it. Isn't it just... like, I know it's a small thing in terms of like the overall player base, but it's just a little bit of cleanup at least. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Like, what's bad about that if it gets peer reviewed? It's like if I report someone for... I guess that's the problem. I know I'm talking a lot here, but
no,
I'm
fine.
Just kind of brainstorming. So if I report someone for communication abuse or whatever, there's a system in place and it does something. But when they do it, you get manual involvement that you don't get to that level as the average player when you report people for stuff, whether it's absolute game ruining or racism or, you know, the worst possible things you can imagine in the game, don't get the same level of attention. So maybe that's the problem, that it feels unfair. But then it's about, what's your perspective? Is it better that they really get hands-on in some cases, but not all? Or should everyone be treated the exact same so that we never get hands-on? I mean, those are basically like the two options, right? With our current system.
The problem now is that it's going to be the other extreme where everything is just automated, right? And
yes.
I feel like I am a bit extremist in my opinions on this. I mean, we agree to an extent, I suppose. I feel like they should fucking ban it. People for doing stupid stuff. Like, first of all, when it comes to cheating, it's much harder to tell if somebody's cheating in Dota versus like a game like Counter-Strike. So that one, I would agree that you probably wouldn't want to go through the replay with a peer, like you said. But when it comes to, like, again, I have no idea what this person actually did, so I'm not talking about this instance particularly, okay? If a Valve employee, if I have the power to... First of all, this isn't even a ban. This is just low priority. If I have the power to do something like that to somebody and I feel like they ruined the game, I'm fucking... That's great! Need more of that. How about you add like thousands of people with that privilege that have proven that they won't be super biased? Yeah, there's going to be some cases that probably shouldn't have been warranted or whatever, but fucking ban these people. Who gives a shit? I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm sick and tired. Like, first of all, like the automated system... occasionally it will work, it feels like. I mean, I know this is a bit of confirmation bias, but if somebody's being blatantly racist or whatever the case may be, communication abuse, them getting muted, is that really the correct answer? Even if that does go through, which who knows half the time if it's working, they should literally be banned for like a month from playing Dota, period. Like, I'm fine with this going to the extreme route, personally. So I have no problem with Valve... sending people to low priority. Again, I have no idea if this was justified. I'm not going to say whether it was because I don't know the specific instance.
But right.
I have no fucking problem with Valve stepping in. That's great. That's terrific. Like, if somebody in pod... Here's just a random, very small example. I have zero control over what people... If people can play in Pog, right? They don't give us the tools to do that. But technically, we can disable their account from gaining Poggers and spending whatever. If I find somebody being racist in a game or leaving constantly, I'm fucking banning them. Of course I am. 100%. There's no question about it. So I know that I'm in the minority when I say that, but I feel pretty strongly that's what I would want.
I'm not really sure how small that minority is, because I think it really comes down to the feeling of protection as a player, right? That if people have this power and use it... they need to have a good track record, right? Like, that's the main thing. If people just are getting banned left and right for minor offenses or getting low priority for saying idiot, you know, it's like, there's no defined rules for how like toxic or how whatever you can be. And what if it's just a joke among two friends and there's a third person nearby that doesn't understand it, and then they punish them when it was just an internal joke or whatever, you know, like all these kind of things that can happen where somebody misunderstands or doesn't get the context fully. I'm fine with it as long as it's blatantly obvious. But for any gray area case or uncertainty, I think you should always have peers to check with. And that's where, so supposedly we said all the systems are going to be automated, right? Valve did say that they're working on an Overwatch system similar to that in CSGO, right? That's what they said in one of the recent posts, if I remember correctly, which we were celebrating. Yeah. If they implement it like in CSGO, they will have an algorithm, but it will get trained by humans first. So I'm assuming they're going to roll that out at some point. I'm hoping for this patch, but very cautiously hoping that that is ready, where community members will be able to give their verdict in cases. And the way that system works, correct me if I'm wrong here, but this is how I remember it, is that when you're in the Overwatch system, you get fed cases where people have reported someone for whatever abuse it is, cheating, language, whatever. And I think in CSGO, they only did it with cheating, but let's imagine it's more than that. And then multiple people from the Overwatch system each give their response to the case. And if it's overwhelmingly punish, then it will be punish.
Right.
But if it's not, if it's like split somewhat, if even if it's like 80-20, I think the person does not get punished. So I think the system really, I don't know how many inputs it takes before it makes a verdict. And then eventually, you know, the thing that works with machine learning is that over time it can identify, okay, in this type of case, when it works like with these exact parameters, we have 95% to 100% people say ban. So then we're going to automate it. But we need really, really high confidence that this is that type of case before we put a punishment like that. So that's what I think they're going to
do. Yeah, I don't know what the numbers are as well. I don't know if that was even ever released. But I remember when Overwatch first came out for Counter-Strike, I used it quite often. I found it fun to go through these like mini, it wasn't like the full replay, it would just be like a segment and clearly see if somebody's cheating or not, because you know, it's most of the time it's very, very obvious, and then if it's like a split decision kind of thing like you're talking about, then maybe it turns into a manual review for somebody that is more experienced, right? And then the way the idea of the system in general is, the more you are like successful in your predictions or whatever you want to call it, the higher credibility you get going forward, right?
Yeah, the more you weigh in the
system. So you become a more esteemed, you know, reviewer, if you will. So you'll have more sway on what happens, which
it's,
I think,
honestly,
is great.
Just, I don't know if I would call it wisdom of the crowd, but it kind of is what it is, right? It is wisdom of the crowd. Like, if you ask a lot of people, then some people will be wrong. But if you ask enough people about one topic, then the average will hit pretty much spot on, right? With some things. I'm not saying it works for everything. But for something like that, it actually, I think, is really, really good system. Especially when the opinions get weighted, like you said, when people are proving to be very good.
The crowd
will usually be right.
The main issue with Overwatch system in Dota is cheating will be much, it's much harder to tell if somebody's cheating. So I don't even think you can do that in the Overwatch system.
I think you can for...
Not from a public. You can, like, you can send it to people that are already pre-approved, right? That know what they're looking for. You cannot send it to the general public to find cheaters in Dota. I don't think so.
Why not, though?
Because they're going to get it wrong most of the time if they're cheating.
But then they don't get banned.
Right.
Do you think most of the time? Do you think most people using the system will be wrong on average more than right?
For a scripter, yes.
You think so?
Okay. I think it's very hard to tell if somebody's scripting unless you slow it down. And like, I'm assuming it's just like the game playing in normal speed. Like, catching that stuff is very difficult. Like, you have to see where their cursor is.
Yeah, it's just like, I think the way you're thinking about it is the specific cases that it's difficult to tell in. There are some cheating cases in Dota where it's mega obvious, where people are casting spells while they're looking somewhere else on the screen, or they're pressing like seven buttons at once while, you know, they're looking at Fountain. You know, those kind of cases, I think you could very easily.
But would you say, like, no, I agree with that, but would you say that cheating is a bigger problem or toxicity / like communication abuse? Because I would say the latter big time. And then that's when it becomes weird for an Overwatch type system. It's all about what somebody considers. It's all a scale, right? It's dependent on what that person feels. So that's where it becomes kind of weird.
I don't know how big cheating is. That's the thing. I think in CSGO, it's more defined. Like, how big the cheating problem has been. In Dota, it's definitely a thing, but I don't know how big the percentage base is of people that have or have used cheats in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine it's more appealing to use it in CSGO as well, right? Like, that's the thing. FPS games really lend themselves to cheating.
Yeah.
That's not to say Dota doesn't in any way, but I think in...
Well, I would also argue that...
Do it in a shooter.
Some of the cheats, I haven't really... I'm not going to pretend to be super educated on this subject for cheating in Dota, but I would assume that even though you are given an advantage in a lot of cases, it's not going to be nearly as helpful when versus like a Counter-Strike, like you're saying, where it's much more obvious what will be game-breaking as a cheat.
In Counter-Strike, you can kind of be... You can count like two or three players in the server, right? You can be that impactful. In Dota, even with cheats, you can't, like... It's kind of naturally limiting in the way it works, like how much better you can get by cheating, right?
Yeah.
I honestly think a lot of... that's the funny thing. I actually think a lot of the cheating software, right? That's the beauty of it. In CSGO, if you cheat with the best cheats, you play inhuman levels, right? For most Dota 2 stuff, pro players will play better than the cheats, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's some things that they can do that are inhuman with, like, how fast you button press or how fast you target people with auto hex or whatever the fuck it's been that people have been using in the past. But
yeah.
In Dota, the key thing that makes a player really, really good is decision-making and experience, and you can't simulate that with a cheat. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I mean, a great example...
The best cheat in the world on a mediocre player will lose to a good player.
Yes.
I think.
Like, the first time that I played against a pro player in a pub, probably when I owned DC, I don't even remember, but, like, I would blink in, just as an example, and just get hexed immediately, and I'm like... Like, even though I know they're not cheating, the first thought in my head is that's not fucking even possible humanly to hex mm-hmm. that fast. Or of course, they have it ready to go because they know I'm going to come in. Right. So, yeah, I totally agree. But I have no problem with Valve banning people, sending them a low priority. Do whatever the fuck you want. Get these toxic piles of shit out of here. Having said that, I have no idea what this guy did. So if he did nothing wrong, I truly, truly apologize.
Yes. That was it.
He wrote penis. Unacceptable. Okay, next thing on the list, Penguin Commandos has been released for POG, voiced by Cinderin, Slacks, and myself. The spotlight video is out on the Dota Cinema channel now. Personally find it to be the most fun hero I've ever played in Dota, Cinderin, along with Pango, Pudge, old Centaur when I used to like him, back when he had the stun on Stampede and all that. Has a very low win rate right now because nobody knows how to play him. but thank you for lending your voice, sir. It was a lot of fun. We're gonna probably post the voice line video in the next couple days so you can hear all the amazing voice lines. Actually been getting a lot of compliments on your voice specifically, Cinderin.
Awesome.
They're like, I mean, that doesn't sound like Cinderin at all.
People have been pretty impressed, so that's awesome. That's really cool. I mean, you asked me about this, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it, because I had this... We've talked about this on the podcast before, that I would love to try to voice act something, because I think it could be fun, and I might be okay at it.
Mm-hmm.
And people are saying they like it, so that's great, you know? It makes me really happy that it's well-received.
You look really happy right now.
I had fun doing it.
So, yeah. Stay tuned.
I just... You know, this happens a lot on my stream. Like, I don't know. I have resting indifferent face, I think. I don't look negative, but I always look like I just don't want to be here, I guess, is like the, or I don't care. I guess that's my default face. So
apathy.
Even if I'm if I'm not actively smiling, that does not mean I'm sad. People will come to my stream like, oh, you look sad, or I'm fine. You know, it's just
I just hate you. That's the only thing. But yeah, you can check that out anytime you guys want. Okay. Next thing, that's all the Dota we have for today. This next one.
Next week.
By tomorrow, we could do another episode probably, but we won't because Cinderin's lazy. Artifact 2.0. I want to talk about this briefly. I know this is just going to be me talking, but I wanted to bring it up because I started playing a lot more recently. They had a rank system a long time ago. I know this is not impressive. I'm not trying to sound like this is impressive at all. They had a rank system quite a while ago, and I ranked up to Immortal really fast. I know the user base is very small, but I'm just talking about like how much I've enjoyed the game.
Well, if got it's percentage-based, then it's just as impressive, right?
I don't know if it is percentage-based, but we'll just go ahead and say that it is. So got Immortal, and then I realized that there's a higher rank past Immortal, and I'm like, I don't feel like grinding anymore because I felt like I reached that point, right? So I played occasionally here and there, and then recently, the last couple weeks, they've been coming out with more updates, which I'll talk about now, and I got much more into it to the point where it's literally the only game sometimes I'm playing on a day-to-day basis. And I hit the leaderboard, rank 60-something Sindarin out of probably 62 Damn. People out there.
Not bad.
Thank
so
you.
So the 61 and 62 are Immortal, and everyone else is on the leaderboard.
That's right, Sindarin. Thank you very much. But the reason I've been playing more is because the game... Sometimes I hate talking about this because I feel like people have already made up their mind about Artifact, which makes me kind of sad,
right.
But... I'll talk about it anyway. The changes they've made, it's been gradual. It's been somewhat slow, but I feel like they've improved the game so much versus 1.0. When you played in the beta of 1.0 for that 9-month period or whatever it was, I think everybody got this feeling where, and especially first when it came out, you would stream and play a bunch. Did your brain like physically feel like it hurt after playing for like 5 hours straight or something like that?
I don't think I ever played for 5 hours straight, but no.
Okay. Well, you could have just said yes to help me with this point, but
yes.
Anyway,
yes,
that was actually a very common thing that people brought up to me, and I got the same thing where I play a bunch of 1.0, and literally my head would hurt after even a couple hours of playing the game because it's just too much to think about. So this is going to sound bad. They've dumbed down the game to a point where it's still super deep, super complicated, but it doesn't fucking hurt my brain to play hours at a time, which is great.
That's good.
I think we've talked about this part in the past, but the hero design in general is just far superior to 1.0. Every hero feels like they have value. They feel like they've been, you know, balancing it here, and there's some OP heroes still, but there's no hero that's just absolute fucking garbage. Like Keith the Bold in 1.0 was fucking garbage. There's nothing like that anymore.
Right.
And they feel more like Dota heroes. They all have like 1 to 2 abilities, and everything just feels more like Dota. And then the big change that they made that I think was hugely beneficial, they made it dual color friendly more. So mono color, mono blue, mono whatever was always a big issue that I found very boring. And the reason for that is because if you have, let's say, a black hero and a red hero in a lane, you stun or silence the black hero and you just can't cast those spells, as opposed to having two red heroes in the lane, let's say. And if you stun one of them, you can still cast, right? That's how 1.0 was. So that's why, inherently speaking, mono colors were just superior in most decks, okay? So the thing that they changed recently, two things. Number one, if that happens, that exact scenario, it doesn't matter that they're stunned. The other card can still cast the spells.
What if they're silenced?
Silenced as well. So let's say you have a black hero and a red hero. The black hero gets stunned or silenced, the red hero can still cast those black cards because there's a black hero in the lane.
But if they're both silenced, you can't use any.
Right. If they're both silenced, then you're done. So that's one huge difference that, even though it seems subtle to some, it makes such a big difference in the grand scheme of things. Then the second thing they did was they started adding dual, I don't know what they're actually called, but they're dual colored cards where it benefits you to have a second color. So let's say, as an example, this is I find to be the best one. It's so fucking good. It's a green card. Wait, is it green? Yeah, it's a green card that's a 6/6 creep, okay? And if you just play it as a green card, it's just a 6/6 creep. But if you have a red hero in the lane, when you play it, the 6/6 creep will automatically attack everything in that area. It's crazy. Like, so they're essentially benefiting you from having that second color in the lane. And they have a bunch of cards like that now, which they're going to end up adding
to. That's really, really good.
So I think that made a huge difference. They've also just started adding factions. They just barely started doing this. So, for example, there's like Bronze Legion or Vool Rebellion. So making it a little bit more interesting where if you're playing a bunch of cards that are the same faction, they end up benefiting themselves in some way, like stats or whatever the case may be.
Like Murlocs in Hearthstone.
Exactly. Yep. They've also added a bunch of hero demos so you can easily test out a hero without jumping in a game to understand how the mechanics work.
Very good.
And they're working on a tutorial. So the thing, like overall, the place, everything about Artifact 2.0 for me is literally just better than 1.0 in every way. Makes it more casual friendly. It's still really deep. It's extremely fun. The games can still be a bit long, but I think that's partially because like if you're in the top end, the games are not that long because they limit the amount of time that you have because you're more familiar with the game. But the thing that I found interesting based on just streaming this, which I don't know if Valve is even aware of, is the reaction to a game that does not have finished art. Because I did not care and do not care very much. But I know several people, not only just in chat, but personally know them, that they don't want to play because the art, whether it's the cards or the board itself, is placeholder. It bothers them to a point that they will physically not play the game, which is interesting. Right. I never thought that was actually a thing. So,
I mean, the thing that's really interesting about that is that when both Teamfight Tactics and Legends of Runeterra got their first public showing,
yeah,
the art was basically finished, right? Mm-hmm. I think they had a different approach where Valve's is, how to say, I think in a way, I might be reading a little bit too much into this, but I think it does say something about the companies and how they think about games, right? Where Valve is very much like really programmer and, I mean, I could just be talking out of my ass here. Okay, let's just say that, preface that with that. But Valve is very system and programming oriented, whereas League of Legends has a much bigger PR team, right? Or like this whole have a different opinion about reception and initial stuff.
Oh yeah,
so
100%.
If you think about it, the first TI as well, the hero arts were not finished. Like a lot of the heroes that people were playing at TI were pretty low poly and not nearly as good as the rest. Like some of the heroes looked basically like they do now, and others looked like, okay, let's just rush this out in a jiffy so it's playable, right? And not cared that much about if it looks amazing or not. I think they might have a slightly different attitude there. And it's interesting because I'm not going to say what's right or wrong, but it seems like there's a different value put into different aspects of what makes a game good, right? It seems like to Valve, the thing that makes a game good is the gameplay and the systems and this stuff rather than the looks. But you probably can't deny that the looks does quite a lot for the first time players, right? Like catching their attention and getting them interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like you said, maybe in game design, when you let people stream and let it be shown, it's something where you might need to be careful that it doesn't represent the game poorly. Because even if the systems are amazing, if people look at it and they're like, what the fuck? And then just forget about it.
Right.
Then you lost a player that you could have had if you had put a little more time into art and a little less time into perfecting your systems. It might have been a better first look for people that try it first time.
Like, yeah, so. I mean, we've talked about this before, but Valve is not a very big company in terms of the actual employee base, right, versus a Riot, which is astronomically higher. So when it comes to, like, art, they have some artists for sure. Like, TV Dotto is the guy that was, I guess it's not recent anymore, but he was hired, like, a year or two ago, whatever the case may be. But for the most part, they outsource most of their art, as far as I'm concerned. Like, when it comes to, I remember Artifact 1, when they were still working on the art, most of that was outsourced. When they do SFM videos, most of that is outsourced. The Diretide SFM was made by some completely different team.
Yeah.
So you're exactly right. And, like, I'm not saying that there's a good way to do this or a bad way, but I just wasn't aware of the effect that having, like, art that isn't done would have on the general public. I had no idea that was a thing. So
okay, let's try to take it to the extreme. Let's imagine the cards had no art at all, but they just had a name and their stats. Would you understand it then?
No.
Like, literally no art. It's just numbers and a text.
Well, hold on. Are you talking about for a finished product, or are you talking
about... No. For this state of the game, for example. Like,
no, it would make no difference to me.
Okay.
I mean, it would make it a little bit more difficult to tell what card it was, I guess, just based on the look. So maybe from that perspective, but from like, oh, that board doesn't look very good. I don't want to play. It doesn't make sense to me personally. But but again, Nikki, my girlfriend, is the exact same way, or the other way, where she doesn't want to play because the art's not done. So,
right. I mean, for a lot of people, a big part of the enjoyment of playing a game is like the immersiveness, right? It's not exactly immersive when the cards don't look like cards would, right?
Right.
Or just if it's pleasant to look at. So definitely. What I will say, though, about this game, like, you're like, it's a shame that a lot of people have made up their minds. What I think Valve will do, and what I think they should do, and what it seems like their approach is, especially based on this whole art discussion we just had, is that they're taking their time to make sure the systems are good. Right. When the systems are good and when the game is good, then they're going to finalize the art. And then I think they're going to do a $1 million tournament still. I don't think they've given up on that. And the reason I say that is that I think they absolutely have to do it.
I agree.
I don't think this game is not getting big unless they make a huge event out of it to push and show how far the game has come and win people back. Because I'm one of those people, I have access to the game, right? You pushed me to get it, and I was like, yeah, I'll get it. I still haven't played it yet.
All right, hold on. I just want to say this out loud. I talked to a Valve employee on your behalf asking him why you didn't have a key. He's like, oh, just have him email me. So I provided that email to you, and then you emailed them, you got access, and you have still not installed the fucking game.
I think I haven't installed.
Thank you.
Let's see if you're lying. It's installed. It's installed.
You have not played the game.
Correct. So
I hate you
like,
so much.
The main thing here is I really liked Artifact, actually. So this, I think I'm a kind of interesting case here because I loved the original game. I actually thought it was super fun. But there's something about the state of the game, like the state that the game is in, that has me less interested in right now. And I think it's the perspective of where we are on the scale from like finished, or rather a scale from alpha to finished, right? In Artifact 1, we felt like when we were playing it that now it's time, right? Like now the game gets released, people are going to play, we're going to get tournaments, we're going to get events, and it's going to be super fun to watch play with friends, etc. Right now it's like this haze where we have no idea.
Yeah.
Is this game ready in half a year? Is it ready in 2 years? Is it ready in 3 weeks? Like you said, the art isn't done, et cetera, which is kind of an indication that there's probably quite some way to go. So when this game gets closer to being finished, I will play it as well. Like, it's not like I'm like, nah, fuck it, Artifact's over. I give up on this game. Like, I'm not in that camp at all, but I still am not playing it right now, even though I like the original. So I can't be the only one that thinks like that, that they just want the game to get a little bit further before they start playing it. But if they push that, if they push a big tournament and things look crisp and the game plays a lot better and it's a lot more fun for the average player, I don't think the game is dead. I don't think it's over.
I agree.
I think it's better that the game got dumped on so hard than if people didn't care. Because that means that just the name itself will make headlines, right? It's either going to be, you're kind of all in at this point. Like, either it gets amazing, or it's just going to be the thorn in Valve's side.
I mean,
that was
so
never good.
There's no denying that there's going to be a certain segment. What percentage of people this is, I have no idea, will never even try the game just because of the reputation alone. That is something that this new Artifact will have to overcome. Whether that's even possible, I don't know. And I know this doesn't mean anything coming from me because I did enjoy the first one, but after playing both, this version is so much fucking better. It's not even close. And I can clearly see that it's more friendly for not only the casual viewer, but an eventual mobile. Like, it just makes more sense on every level. The game is not as difficult. Like, once they get out this tutorial, this is the one thing I hope they don't do, is that they open it up to everybody and try to make a big deal out of it before they put in the art. Which, again, if this was a few weeks ago, I wouldn't have cared, but I think it would actually hurt them if they release this without polishing, just because of the public perception to that type of stuff. So, but I do agree that eventually they will do the $1 million term. I think that's 100%. I would be beyond shocked, considering they said they were going to do it.
Yeah.
And they never end up doing it. Yeah. I think it'll happen.
Do you agree with my take that them having all of this negative press around the name is better than if it quietly had failed and they tried to revamp it? Like, I don't know if I can draw a parallel to another game that happened to, but you know what I mean, right? Like, if the hype wasn't huge for Artifact, but Valve released a game, people were like, eh, it's not that good. And then they moved on. But it was blown up to be something big. It failed clearly horribly. And now they're rebuilding it. I think that draws more attention and is better for it than if they hadn't built it up to begin with. If they'd released it as like a cool little extra game, you know, try this out, guys. It's going to be fun. People are like, eh, whatever.
Right. I don't know, actually. That's a really good point. I genuinely don't know what is preferable. No clue. Either way, it's an uphill battle. And I'll just close my thoughts on this, that Reddit, like the Artifact Reddit, not that there's a ton of people on there, it's very split on whether this version is better or not than the original. Like, a lot of people just were obsessed with the original. And I feel like that is actually a good sign that a lot of the people on Reddit do not like it, because you don't want to cater to those same people anyway, right?
There's a really good example in chat now, by the way, of a game that kind of fits what I talked about, which is Crucible, right? We talked about that game on podcast. It wasn't blown up to be something big, but it was announced. If that game had come out and not done very well and they had made a 2.0, I think people would be less excited for that to either succeed or fail. Like, it's just the attention in general that's good.
Is that the Amazon game?
Yeah, exactly. That was the game that they canceled, right? It ran into some beta, some open stuff, and then they just canceled the game altogether. I think we talked about that like 3 weeks ago or something.
Yeah, but they've never re-released anything. So how's that?
Right. My point is, if they were to do that, right, if that was their launch and the hype wasn't very big for the game, and then they were to remake, they're like, all right, we're going back to the drawing board. We're making Crucible 2 and it comes out. I think the expectation or like the talk around it would be way less than Artifact. So I think Valve just has a huge chance here at a big redemption story. And I mean, obviously, a lot of people will still be like, Artifact 1 fucking sucked. But I don't know. Like, I guess you should also consider what you're competing against, right? Hearthstone is still doing well. Legends of Runeterra kind of made a splash. So is it realistic that this game gets huge? Maybe
not.
You know what would be funny?
I hope, obviously, this is not going to happen. But we keep talking about the reason Artifact 1 was, like, the biggest reason that it failed was the monetization. What if, after all of this, they kept the same monetization? They're like, fuck you, idiots. We were right. You were wrong. But
dude,
no.
That's a double down. That's a fucking double down. Dude, if they did that, that would actually be so crazy. Holy shit. I would laugh really hard, but it's not be good.
Yeah. So okay. So, well, again, we're not going to talk about Artifact that often because I know a lot of people don't want to hear it, but I felt it was time and it's been a while and I enjoy playing it. So we'll see what their next big plans will be. Hopefully soonish, not sure. Okay, next topic. This is really random, but Mortal Kombat 11, Cinder. I saw this in the headlines. I was like, what in God's name? They added Rambo as a character. And then I looked a little bit. Again, this Mortal Kombat is not a game that I really pay attention to anymore. I used to be amazing at Mortal Kombat 4, by the way, but that's a long time ago. Used to be pro player back in the day, as you know. I see that they have other characters. RoboCop, Spawn, the Joker, and Terminator as characters. That's crazy to me.
And Shiva.
Is that the god of something?
No, it's the fifth one top left. So Shiva is in the game as well as an orc. Or whatever that is.
That's the Australian way to pronounce Shiva. Shiva. Yeah. Who do you think should be added next, Sindarin? I mean, first of all, that's really... Okay, I'm not saying this is bad. I think it's actually kind of cool.
How much does this cost, though? That's what I'm thinking. Like, licensing those characters cannot be cheap.
That's why you have to pay to play the hero or the characters.
Right.
They're not free. They're like... They come in packs, apparently. But it's just weird in a fighting game to have somebody... I know there's been other characters, like Jax, for example, has a gun. It's just...
Right.
It's strange coming from like back in the day to have characters like this, but it's really cool to see.
Honestly, if they wanted to cash in right now and make it big, make a Joe Biden and a Donald Trump character. I guess the problem will be getting approval from those people to get it in their game. But holy shit, that was...
Well, I'm pretty sure Trump could use the money, so I think he'd be on board for sure.
He'd be like, I'm the best character. Like, imagine the person in the game and it's just bad at everything.
Yeah, he's touted as the best, but he's actually just objectively the worst character in the game. That would be quite fitting. But yeah, that's really interesting to see. I mean, it's kind of random that it's Rambo, though. I feel like that's not... Is there a movie coming out with Rambo? There might be. Maybe that's why. But is there a character, not that you watch anything of use, Cinderin, is there any character in any universe that you think would be cool in a game like this? Because the first thing that popped in my head, which I guess it would be Wick. What's his name? John Wick would be kind of cool.
Right.
The hardcore Keanu Reeves. And then I thought Neo would just be OP, so there's no point in doing that. Any characters that you'd like to see other than Dota?
Man, every character I think about is kind of in Smash, right?
So, oh, we'll get to that.
Well, I don't know. When you put me on the spot like that, nothing really comes to mind.
Thanks, Sindarin. Really appreciate your great...
You're very welcome.
...insight.
Oh, speaking of Smash, what a segue.
Great way to change the subject.
That was a great segue.
So, the last topic of this evening, Smash Brothers, a big tournament called the Big House 10 was canceled by Nintendo themselves. They sent a cease and desist. So I'm just going to read a couple responses here. So the Big House tweeted out this. The Big House is heartbroken to share we've received a cease and desist from Nintendo America Incorporated to cancel our upcoming online event. We're informed we do not have permission to host or broadcast the event, primarily due to the usage of Slippy. Sadly, all our competitions are affected. We are forced to comply with the order and cancel the Big House online for both Melee and Ultimate. Refund information will be sent shortly, blah, blah, blah. We apologize for this inconvenience, which was followed up by Nintendo's response. Nintendo appreciates the... We have to do an evil voice for this, right? It only sounds fair.
Nintendo appreciates the love and dedication the fighting game community has for the Super Smash Bros. Series. We have partnered with numerous Super Smash Bros. Tournaments, excuse me, I lost my place, in the past and have hosted our own online and offline tournaments for the game, and we plan to continue that support in the future. Unfortunately, the upcoming Big House tournament announced plans to host an online tournament for Super Smash Bros. Melee that requires use of illegally copied versions of the game in conjunction with a mod called Slippy during their online event. Nintendo therefore contacted the tournament organizers to ask them to stop. They refused, leaving Nintendo no choice but to step in to protect its intellectual property and brands. Nintendo cannot condone or allow piracy of its intellectual property.
So that was Nintendo's response. What are your thoughts on this? Hopefully I made that evil enough. Tell me your thoughts, please.
That's the worst part.
Please give your insight.
Oh, what to say that? I mean, honestly, it's just a okay. Let's start out by saying it's not surprising that it's Nintendo doing this. Nintendo have always been very protective of IP. Like even some of their really old Game Boy games or whatever that people are ROM hacking or whatever, they're still not like games that they don't create anymore, games that they don't sell anymore. They're still very protective of the IP, which, you know, I feel like what I will commend them for is if you have a policy like that and you really stick to it, I think that's good, right? Then we can discuss if the policy is good or not, but they're sticking to their guns and they have their ideology of how they think things should be, and fair game, you know, fair play to that. As always, I feel like, you know, you should be a little bit contextual and maybe think about, okay, how good is this for our company versus how bad is this for our company? This is a really big tournament with a lot of pros playing something really fucking cool. There's Corona going on. It's limiting things, what you can and can't do, etc. And they've set up this tournament basically promoting your game, right? It does promote it. It gives the content to the scene, etc., etc. Then it's played on a hacked version. I'm not going to pretend I know exactly what Slippy does, etc., but it's not part of the original game. So there's something modified, and Nintendo don't like that. Mm. So then you're like, okay. Like I said, I'm fine with them sticking to their guns. If they genuinely think this is bad for them and bad that their IP gets used in this way, then okay. I disagree, but they have their opinion and they go by it. They seem very consistent. That's what I like. It's not like this one tournament didn't get to run. Every time people get to do this shit, Nintendo shut them down, right? They want them to only play the official version. So I just think it's kind of in line with how we've talked about music on Twitch, right? I feel like it's kind of similar, where I think there's a lot more value to Nintendo in having this tournament run versus the slight exposure it gives to a specific kind of mod where you can play Smash in some other way than intended.
Well,
that's my two cents.
So you're okay with consistency, even if it's consistently awful, which is the case for Nintendo when it comes to esports.
I mean, I want to commend them for being consistent, right? I think that's something people are not very good at in general,
okay,
is being consistent. Like, there's way too many, like, it's okay, or blah, blah, blah. Like, I like that they're consistent. I don't like the policy, but that's a different story, right? I don't think this is a good idea. That's my point. Like, I do not agree with the decision to do this, but I commend them on being consistent. That's
so it. I'm not going to pretend to have, like, super inside information or being super educated on Smash or anything like that, but to my understanding, the mod Slippy is necessary to play online. That's my understanding. Right. So, of course, we're in a stage of Corona, so it's kind of like...
It's hard to have tournaments without that.
It's literally required. Like, what else can you do? So I just think... I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I think Nintendo... It's funny because we always talk about these companies and these game developers. We talk about Valve and how they're very hands-off to a fault sometimes, or many times even, depending on your perspective. Then you have Riot, who's the complete opposite, super hands-on. Then you have companies like Blizzard, who are just literally clueless at every single stage of development slash PR or any marketing, whatever the case may be. They just make... It's like they have somebody giving them the wrong information constantly, and they just consistently make the wrong decision. And then you have Nintendo, who are really, truly... I don't play a lot of Nintendo games or anything like that anymore, but when it comes to, like, their consoles and marketing, and it's truly brilliant. Like, I don't I don't give that type of praise out lightly. It is truly one of a kind, very unique. Yeah. But really when it comes to anything esports related, it's like they're from another century. It's just, it's so odd that you don't support. And I know that Smash has had, like, horrible issues. And we talked about this on a previous episode with, like, sexual assault or whatever it was. And I understand, like, that, I mean, it was like this before any of that happened anyway. Like, they are just, it's not hands off. They're oppressive to any esports for Nintendo systems, or Smash specifically, I guess, which is mind boggling. It's like, you would think you'd want to take advantage of something like this, but they just have a different thought process. I don't know what it is, but it's just really weird to do something like this, I feel. So there's been a lot of rallying, obviously, against Nintendo. I know there's some, I forget what exactly it was, but money being donated to the tournament to help the scene out or something like that. I can't remember the specifics, but a lot of people rallying against Nintendo right now.
Is part of Nintendo's concern here that if Slippy gets bigger or whatever, then people don't want to pay for Nintendo Online for Super Smash Ultimate? Is that where it's at? Or is that like just a side thing where it's just, again, I think they're just being consistent and they have this no tolerance for this kind of stuff. So like, it almost feels like the context doesn't matter. Like, let's say this was $100 million tournament for charity. Nintendo would shut it down because it's on Slippy. Like, just to put it on edge, I think they might actually do that, you know? Yeah, but maybe then the PR backlash would be too hard. Like, I don't know, but it's kind of, it really seems like they're super sticking to their guns with this kind of stuff. I'm just trying to think of, is there some sort of problem with letting this happen that we're not seeing, like, from a commercial standpoint? Because we're like, man, great exposure. Your game gets to be played. There's lots of people watching. It's good for Nintendo that Smash gets more attention, et cetera, et cetera. But if it pulls that away from people playing on another system that's legit, or you're indirectly saying, hey, guys, it's okay that you play on hacked consoles or hacked systems, does that outweigh it? Because that's what I mean. Like, contextually, Nintendo could embrace it, right? They could be like, okay, there's a demand for this online kind of thing for Smash. We're going to endorse it. We're going to try to find a way of making this our own, like, buy the rights or whatever you want to do with Slippy, so that if Smash Online can be this big, why not get in on it? Why not profit?
Yeah, it just seems like they're...
Like, they don't have to just accept it. Like, hey guys, hack our game, it's great. Just play the tournament, whatever. But, you know, they could use it.
Like, right.
I don't know.
My closing thoughts on this is, it's just really, even with, if they're staying consistent or whatever, it's really weird that a company is doing their best to prevent their most... Like, legitimately, their most loyal user base. Would you agree with that? It is by far their, like, this is a grassroots type game. Like, the esports scene is completely grassroots. Zero support from Nintendo, to the point it's now a negative support from Nintendo, right? Because they're shutting down events now. It's just so strange to take that approach towards your most loyal user. It's just so, it's mind-boggling that there must be something that I don't know, because it makes no sense to me at all.
But I mean, sometimes things that are just mind-boggling to us, right, is that the people in power that are making these decisions just don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, probably. It's possible that they're, like, it's no secret that Nintendo are pretty conservative, right? And maybe a lot of the people that decide what they do with their IP are people that have no connection whatsoever to any esport at all. Maybe they've never watched it. And all they hear is, hey, there are these guys running a tournament with a hacked version of our game. They're like, hacked version of our game? Bad. Ban. That's it. Like, there's no context given. And then, again, can commend them for being consistent, but then they're just out of touch, right? If they're consistent because of ideology and they truly believe this is the way to run things, we can disagree, but at least that's good. If it's just because of ignorance, then it just fucking sucks, right? Like, then, yeah. I mean, it's shit either way, but one is more understandable than the other, I guess.
Yep, agreed. Okay, we were going to do a Patreon mailbag, but I came up with a random thing that I just wanted to... I don't know why. So we'll do the Patreon mailbag for next time, because we're running out of time here. So I have this random thing that I literally, I don't know why, I thought of it as I was going to bed. And usually when I think of something as I go to bed, I forget it, right? But this was just so important to me in my mind. I kept thinking about it over and over, and then I wrote it down the next morning. So, Sindarin, if you woke up and found out you were in a simulation and everything in this world was completely made up for fun, what is the one thing you would not be surprised about that they were trolling you on? Like a complete, like just imagine we're in another universe, another, like everything is different. We don't look like this. Nothing like it. We have it here is like in this universe. And you wake up and you're like, oh, I have all my memories back. Man, that was weird. Everything about that place was weird. What is the one thing that would not surprise you that whoever was controlling the simulation was completely trolling you?
Have you thought about an answer yourself?
Yes, I have.
I want to hear that first. You've had a lot of time to think about it, dude. I don't. So this is such a weird question. You can't just put me on the spot for this.
Well, what do you put you on the spot? It's been on the fucking outline. Jeez. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I'll go. Yeah, that's fine. So now there's a lot of ways to think about this. You know, it could be something very spiritual, like even like religion, for example. It could be so many different things. For me, if I woke up now, the one thing that I think somebody is trolling me about, and I know this is going to make a bit of an uproar because I'm 100% of the minority, is rap music. If I woke up in another universe, I would not be surprised that rap music was a troll on me specifically, because I cannot fathom how this is considered music at all, Sindarin. Everyone,
you took all the time last night thinking about this, whatever night it was, you were thinking about the like, and you thought the biggest joke that could have played on us is fucking rap music. Really?
Yes.
Dude, that is so funny, actually. Yeah, I have music playing right now. I'm listening to the Notorious B.I.G. This timing is way too good, man. What a banger this is. What a great joke that is, man. If they were trolling us with this, dude, that's a good troll, man. I like it.
All right, what was your answer be?
Dude, I don't know. Like, the best thing I can think of is, like, that, like, all the UFO sightings were actually there, but they're just planted as a troll and then they disappear. So they were there. The objects were real, but then they disappeared every time. Instead of people thinking they saw something that wasn't there. That would
That's
be a
the
troll.
Best you can think of?
That would be... I mean, that would genuinely be trolling, right?
I thought you were going to say, like, cabbages. Or what is it that you hate again? Like, it could be literally anything. Something that you hate that you can't understand why other people like. Think of it that way. What would not surprise you that somebody is personally trolling you in your own personal licorice. Simulation? What?
Licorice.
Licorice. What color?
Yeah. I don't know. It's all shit.
I agree, actually. I would not be surprised by that, especially black. Black is, like, inedible. It's so disgusting.
I don't think the color is what gives it its taste. Shannon. I don't think that's how it works.
Well, I'm talking about the candy that they give out at fucking movie theaters. There's red, and then if you really look hard, there's black, and black is disgusting.
It's like different colors, and it's the intensity of the flavor.
When I think of licorice, I think of twist. What are they called? Twizzlers? Whatever that is.
I don't know. If you use American terminology on like brands, I have no idea about it. Like, and I don't know. I barely know anything about licorice to begin with. So
there's a. Have you had the alcohol called Jägermeister?
Yes. Honestly, it's decent. It's pretty decent in alcohol, though. That's what's interesting. I don't
it's
like
black licorice.
Yeah, but I don't like it in anything else. But in alcohol, it's good.
Okay, you're being trolled then. That's what your answer is. Interesting.
I can't believe you said rap music. That's so fucking funny. Of all things. Fucking rap music. What the fuck, man?
It's the one thing I just will never understand.
Do you not, okay, hand on heart, do you not like any rap song at all? Is there none that you like? Literally none.
The only one that I...
People that like that genre or a genre in general will still have individual pieces that they like, right?
I mean, I'm not going to go out there and say that I've listened to a shit ton at this stage. Right. I avoid it at all costs. I would say the one that I'd have to go back and listen to is whatever the Eminem 8 Mile movie.
I was going to say Eminem. Do you hate every Eminem song?
I couldn't even name one, but the one from the movie is probably okay-ish. But that's a lot of that is based on the movie itself having like a special moment or whatever. Not necessarily
called Lose Yourself.
Yeah, the song itself.
One
I don't
of his
know.
Most famous songs.
Yeah, so. Yeah, interesting. We'll never get it. But anyway.
So good. What's I'm still trying to remember that veggie. What's that called? Brussels sprouts. Mm. There it is.
Cooked Brussels sprouts. Next time we make a bet, that's what you're eating.
Oof. The smell is enough to wipe me out.
So that is the end of the episode. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Look forward to Freya coming out today.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed. Suns fan guarantee right there.
Oh,
Sinnert, have you seen In Bruges by any chance? Is it a Thanksgiving miracle?
You know, it gets hard to come up with different. I mean, I've given the same answer a lot, right? Which has just been no. But how can I say no in an exciting way?
How about you do something at least a little bit out of the box and. Well, number one, you could just watch the fucking movie. That could be, you know, the thing that's out of the box. But if you want to continue to not watch it, you could just look up different ways to say no in other languages.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I could look up the name of a character from the movie to get you excited. So I like say I watched and this character was awesome. And then you'd be like, oh, shit, he watched it. And I'm just like, nah, I just Googled the name.
So if that happens, then I'm just replacing it with Slacks from now on.
Dude, that actually podcast. Sounds... That would have been good. Why did I say that out loud, man? I should have started doing that.
I hate you so much.
No, right. I didn't watch it.
Thanks Get for fucked. Watching, everybody. Until next time, Suns fan and Cinderin, signing out.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening. Yeah.